If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel this morning, Daniel chapter 9 is where we'll be. I want to remind you of the special service we'll be having tonight. Do your very best to be here. We'll be having some testimonies from the team members and just expressing what the Lord did on that trip. We'll be showing some pictures. We've got lots of pictures. I want us to say thanks to many of them, but especially somebody with the last name Busey. We had plenty of pictures, okay? Sister Andrea did a great job taking plenty of pictures. I think by the time of the end of the trip, Sister Andrea told me she had nearly 3,000 pictures. Is that correct, brother? A little over, excuse me. So we'll be here tonight starting at 6. We'll be here till 1 in the morning, okay? And we're going to show you every one of them, all right? But just kidding. We're going to try to get it down to about a 10-15 minute presentation and have some testimonies with that. It's going to be a joyous time, folks. And I believe God has set the pace for the coming mission trips from this team that we had on this trip. Just a phenomenal time. Don't want to give everything away, but we just want to share some things with you. And also just wanted to mention to you guys, just share my heart with you here just for a second. Today, we are celebrating my family a year being here at the Creek. It's hard to believe it. Honestly, as somebody told me, do you feel like it's gone by fast? And many ways, yes. And many ways, no. Just like in Niger, you know, there were times where times were just going like that, and there were some days that would that seemed like they went on forever. But I just want to say a couple things here. Number one, I want to say, number one, and I'm speaking on the behalf of Joanna as well. We are so, so thankful to be here. And I told this to somebody on the trip, and I mean it with the very, very bottom of my heart. This year, since August of 2016, has been the best year of my life. I mean that with all my heart. It seriously has. I see more and more how God was preparing me and my family for this work. And you folks have gone out of your way to make us feel at home here as your pastor. And I just can't thank you enough. I'm so thankful also that you understand that I am growing as well with you. And you've been very patient with me as a younger pastor. You've been very merciful and gracious and forgiving. And for that, I am so thankful as well. And just rejoicing in what the Lord's going to be doing in the coming days. And I don't count this position, folks, as a right. It is not a right of mine. It is a privilege. It is a privilege that you guys have availed to me and God Himself calling me to this work. And that's for that, I just rejoice in the Lord. And I also understand that, and I'm thankful that the Lord put me 3 years on the backside of the desert before I came here, okay? And there was some training ground going on, Brother Ricky. There was some training going on out there in the desert. But you folks are a tremendous, tremendous blessing, and it is a joy to serve you. And I just feel like sometimes you guys go too far out of your way to spoil us and show your love to us. But for that, I am thankful for every part of it. Well, Daniel chapter 9, I want to start reading in verse 1. Verse 1, it says here, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Let's pray together. Father, we do come before you with thanksgiving. Lord, so much to be thankful for this morning. Just the ability to be here physically. Lord, the blessings of life. Oh God, thank you. And thank you for our country. Lord God, we thank you for our church. This is your church, Lord. And we thank you so much for letting us be a part of it. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us in the Word this morning to understand what you expect of us in the ministry of prayer, as Daniel would show by example here. And so, Lord, again, we just ask you to get the glory. Would you guide us now? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we see here in this chapter of Daniel, we're moving in from what we've been talking in the first half, and some of the prophecy that we saw was speaking of the prophetic plan for the Gentiles. Now we're moving in more into chapter 9 that's going to be specifically speaking prophetically of the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And but before we get into that, I want to mention a few things here about this chapter. Daniel chapter 9 has been titled by many theologians as one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God. And one of the reasons that is because of the prayer of Daniel. It's interesting to note there are two other similar prayers to Daniel's in the Old Testament, and that is also in chapter 9 of Ezra and chapter 9 of Nehemiah. I encourage you to go look at those prayers when you have an opportunity. And just a reminder of the power of prayer and the attitude of prayer that God expects us to have. And what a blessing we see here. But it's an interesting time in Daniel's ministry. He's getting toward the end of his life, the end of his ministry. And here we see him in the first year of Darius. And we see that the Medes and Persians, again, the Babylonians are behind now. They're off the chart, if you will. King Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, they're off the chart. They're no longer in charge. But he is now in under the authority of this king. And there's something that's going to take place very interesting in the life of Daniel here. There's going to be a special revealing to Daniel. And how it came about, it has a wonderful lesson for us all. It did not come about with ease. It did not come about without some travail. And it did not come about without Daniel understanding and submitting to the power of prayer. You know, as this being one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, do you know what it will lead up to? One of the greatest prophecies in the Bible. A prophecy that we see also spoken of by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, and we'll also see it spoken of in the book of the Revelation and in the context of what we will see. But this morning, I'm not going to have time to get into the prophecy. In fact, I think I'm going to take the next few messages to deal with this prayer of Daniel's and then get into the prophecy of what is considered in the Bible, the 70 weeks. You say, well, why don't we just get right into the prophecy? Because I believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to focus first on the prayer life of Daniel. Why do you say that? Because the first 21 verses of this chapter, and there are only 27, are focused on Daniel's prayer. That was the emphasis that God wanted to put in the first part, the priority. And boy, there's a message there. There's a reason for that. And we'll talk about how the angel came and gave revelation to Daniel. And that's going to be real neat to study. And I'm looking forward to that. But with the Lord's help, I feel so unqualified, folks, in many ways to preach this message. Because I realize as your pastor and I realize as your brother in Christ that this is an area that we all need to grow in. None of us have arrived. None of us have the perfect prayer life. I'm here to tell you, nobody. It is an area that we are all, as God's children, growing in. There are some that need great improvements. And there are some that maybe not need as much, but perhaps they do. And some things that I believe we can learn from the life of Daniel in this. You know, man has had many ways of advancing our society with their inventions, with technology. You know, man has. I could go down the line, but as men through the ages, their inventions I'm thankful for. I believe God has enabled men and women, scientists and inventors and whatnot, to come up with some wonderful things. One of those that changed our society drastically was the telegraph that was invented in 1837. And boy, how far we have come from that just 180 years ago to where we are today. In fact, it was interesting, during this time, there was one that said, right before this invention, made this statement: information could move no faster than a man on horseback. Boy, that's changed, hadn't it? We can get a message on the opposite side of the earth, of the globe, in seconds. And the technology that is advanced, that now just the click of a button, we don't even have to call. Now we just type out a message, or if you're like me, riding down the road, because it is illegal to text while driving, we just speak into the phone. And then you get so embarrassed about the way she transcribes it sometimes and translates it. We've all had those embarrassing moments where she totally put the very wrong thing into the text. And by the way, you always need to check that. Amen. You will find yourself very red in the face if you don't, okay? That is something. But the way technology has moved and advanced, we think of the internet, which, thanks to Al Gore. We're so thankful for Al. And so many things in technology have moved forward because of men and their inventions and the way society has even changed, even since social media. And the things of that nature, and I can go down the line, but can I tell you this morning, with all the authority of the Word of God and the authority of history, nothing has ever moved society and the hearts of men and women and boys and girls like the method and power of prayer. Since the beginning of time, since the beginning of creation, God has given forth the method of prayer to change things. And here we're going to see how truly important prayer is in the life of Daniel and how it should be to each of us. Listen, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in progressing the kingdom of God and the family of God and seeing the work of Christ go forward? What are we going to do as a church? What are you going to do as an individual? Well, we have lots of ideas, and the world has lots of ideas of how we will progress and move forward and see these great revivals. I want to tell you, some people have got it wrong, the way of going about doing that. You know, there's a teaching now that we're finding in churches. They call themselves churches, who are seeking to bring the world into the church to win the world. That never came from the lips of the Lord Jesus, dear friend. He never did say that. He said, listen, I want you to give the truth of the Word of God. But we got churches that are bringing, just to give you an example, they're bringing bars into churches. And they're having social hour where you come in and just relax. And hey, listen, you want to say, well, hey, you want to build a crowd? Yeah, we can build a crowd. Yeah, we could build a crowd real quick. We could bring in such things like that. We could bring in movie morning. Well, before, we're not going to get into the Bible today. Today we're just going to watch a movie, okay? People would love to come to that. We can bring the rock bands up on the stage and the lights, and man, we can blast out of here where you're giving earplugs at the door. You know, people get a kick out of that. That's the stuff I used to enjoy when I was lost. That's what people are saying you need to do to move the heart of men. But I want to tell you, that might be moving the feet of men to come and enjoy that. It might be tickling their ears, but it's not moving their heart to God. And I want to tell you, what, as a pastor, this is something I'm convicted about in my own heart. But folks, even in the way we do things, we must not depend on anything. But first, we must depend on prayer. If we're going to see the men and women, we're going to see their hearts move towards God and towards repentance and change, we're going to have to get serious about the ministry of prayer. And after being here a year, I understand more than ever the all importance of a praying pastor. Something that I don't feel like I have fulfilled adequately. I feel like I have failed you in that, but I ask you to pray with me in that matter. Pray that God would help me spend time in the secret place interceding for you folks and interceding for our community. And I understand more than ever the importance of a praying church. Not just on Wednesday nights for 20 minutes. Not just a couple times here and there. But I'm talking about a praying church. I'm talking about even private prayer in your homes, where you have a secret place where you get a hold of the Lord and you pray out to God Almighty for a mighty working of His Spirit upon the hearts of our community. Listen, you see Daniel here. How did he progress the work and glory of God? He did it by prayer. He did it by prayer. He was a man of prayer. And he knew that there was no replacement for its power. I think of all the things we got going on. And I'm thankful for what we have going on. I believe it's of the Lord. I think of our dear bus ministry. It was so wonderful to see those young people come off the bus this morning. I think of our grow teams, and I think of the Oaks and the Potter's House. I think of what the Lord is doing, and I'm so grateful. But folks, we have got to primarily, as a way to empower those ministries, we have got to get serious about the prayer life. And I'm praying that God would do that in our hearts. Listen, what did this prayer of Daniel's consist of as we look at it? Well, I want us to see three elements that laid the foundation of a powerful prayer life in the life of Daniel. We see three elements here. Number one, I want us to see his comprehension. Look there in verse number two. Very simple. We see his comprehension. What led to this prayer meeting of his? It says here that in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood. Now, if you have a habit of underlining your Bible, this would be a great place to put a line. It says here underneath, by books, the number of the years. He's talking about the Word of God there. And he's specifically going to be talking about the prophecy of Jeremiah. You see, he had an understanding of something, and that something was specifically in the context, the 70 years of captivity. Of captivity, we see that Jeremiah spoke of. In fact, let's go over there and look at the instances. We see Jeremiah speak three times of the 70 years of captivity. We see in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And we also see Jeremiah 29:10. Go over with me. Hold your place in Daniel. And go over with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. A well-known verse, actually, when it comes to the subject of prayer. But let's look at it in its context. Jeremiah chapter 29, in verse number 10, listen to this. This is one of the verses that Daniel, who we're studying, this is one of the very verses that he would have read as God would reveal to him about the 70 years of captivity coming to an end. Look there, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, there it goes, be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. There's the promise. Now, let's keep reading. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. These are words that Daniel's reading, and this is going to provoke him to an awesome prayer. It says, pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And then verse 13, that's well known. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And we see here that this is an understanding that, listen folks, God is going to be a God of His Word. He is going to bring deliverance. He is going to bring deliverance, and that's sinking into the heart of Daniel as he reads the Word of God. We see here there's a comprehension of the faithfulness of God. We'll get in that here in just a second. But he realized, folks, get this, that captivity was near. Some of you are folks are looking at some situations in your life and you're wondering if the deliverance is near. You're wondering if the escape is near. And Daniel is reading the Word of God and he is drawing faith that it is near than ever. Why does he know that? Because as he's reading the Word of God, he realizes that Daniel is realizing that freedom from captivity was near. Why? Because it was 538 B.C., nearly 67 years since the captivity, and 605 B.C. So it's hitting him, and he's realizing it, and oh my, it's going to provoke him to some serious prayer. In fact, this knowledge drove him to his knees. You think about that, dear folks. This book right here, this precious book, as we read it, should drive us to our knees. The precious truth and revelation that we find in this precious book as you're reading it in your devotions, and as you're using it and helping you draw stronger in the Lord, it will provoke a prayer life as you look at the promises of God. The same thing will happen that happened in the life of Daniel. It will provoke you to a prayer life like you've never experienced as you get into the book, the blessed book, and claim the promises. You know what this, what he was reading, you know what it did? It gave him faith. Is that not what the Word of God says? Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. And boy, you're talking about as he was reading the Word of God, and you've experienced it, have you not? As you've been reading the Bible in your devotions, or reading in family devotions, there's just been a verse that jumps out to you. Maybe you've read it 1,000 times in your life, but for whatever reason, that morning, God decided to use that verse, His living Word, to change your course in an area. That's the living Word of God. And folks, that's exactly what happened in Daniel's devotions. In his Bible study, he came across this verse. I believe he had read it before. I just believe that he had read these verses before, but this time, God's Spirit struck him in a way like never before and revealed to him that, hey, captivity is getting ready to be released. And boy, you're talking about a burden coming on him for prayer. And that's exactly what the we'll see here as God will reveal, it will move you to prayer. Praise the Lord for the truth of God's Word. Listen, I want to tell you something. There is no understanding outside of God's Word. I know it is a temptation in today's society to try to get understanding from men. Men's philosophy. Men's psychology. We want all these step-by-step guides and we want this formula and that formula and we just want, that's what we are driven towards. But folks, hey, let life drive you to the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to the truth of the Word of God and read it. And read it over and over and over. And I'm telling you what, if you find your life weak right now, it is time to feast on the Word of God and feed yourself like never before in His precious Holy Word. There was an understanding, there was a comprehension from Daniel. And it changed his life. It drove him to his knees. And then secondly, we see a consecration. We see his consecration. We see, number one, his comprehension. But then we see a surrendered life to him. Go back to Daniel there. Daniel chapter 9. Look at this, folks. It says here, after the understanding and the comprehension came that, wow, God is getting ready to deliver us. The time has come. And what did Daniel do in response to that? It says there in verse 3, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Number one, what do we see here about this first part? What does that phrase, "I set my face," mean? I set my face. Daniel, what are you talking about? "I set my face to the Lord God." Well, I want to tell you what I believe it means. In the Hebrew, it literally means, "I gave." I gave myself. I gave my attention, my focus to the Lord God. Does anybody here besides me ever struggle with being distracted easily? Anybody else? Thank you. Y'all make me feel so much better. You know, I could be concentrating on something, and my wife especially knows this. And especially in a restaurant. Man, I tell you what, she still gets on to me about this. We can be there talking, and I'm a people observer. I like observing people. It just makes me chuckle, you know, at just some of the situations I see. But I'll catch myself. We're supposed to be there, and of course, you know, I'm supposed to be a good husband, looking her in the eye, and telling how much I enjoy her company, but boy, before knowing it, I catch myself looking at this crowd over here. I'm distracted. I mean, they're having a good time, and I'm just checking things out and seeing what's going on, and next thing I know, I'm distracted, and that can happen. Sometimes my honey's like, "Honey, over here." "Oh, yes, honey. Sorry about that." But it can happen. We can become distracted. But you know what? I will believe this with all my heart. If there's anything, folks, please get a hold of this. If there is anything that the devil will try to do to the church and to the people of God, it will be to try to distract them from their prayer life. He will try to distract us as a church from making that the focus. And folks, I'm going to share a burden here with you. And I mean it with all the kindness that I can. I am burdened. I don't want to see prayer meetings falling apart here at our church. If anything, the prayer meeting should be growing. Because if the devil can pull us apart and keep us from unified prayer meetings and private prayer meetings, he is going to greatly succeed. I have failed miserably as a pastor if I have not led by example and encouraged the church to make prayer number one in our ministry. We have got to get a hold of God. Listen, the world says, and the churches are saying, "Let's bring the world in and we'll win much more." You know what they're making an excuse for? Of not getting in touch with another world. The Lord God wants us to get in touch with the spiritual realm, the Lord God, and intercede. And hey, cannot God move the hearts of men without the world? I believe He can. Oh God, help us not to be distracted. We see that "I set my face." It was deliberate action. And we knew that this was not old for Daniel. He wasn't having a revival prayer meeting. He was just motivated and encouraged. He was just going along with what he was already consistent with. He was consistent. We remember in our study, as we went back to chapter 1 and chapters 2 and 3 chapters 4, and we saw the prayer life of Daniel in chapter 6 and so on. We saw his testimony that he would pray no matter what men tried to do to him. We remember that when they couldn't get the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that? And boy, everybody was panicking. You remember the crooked Chaldeans? They couldn't get it going and they couldn't do anything. And because of those crooks, all the wise men were going to be killed and made a dunghill, the Word of God says. And Daniel said, "Hey fellas, we got to get a hold of God. And we got to move the hand of God in this situation, and so that we can get the wisdom we need to tell this wicked pagan king that he didn't need to make a dunghill out of us." And that's exactly what he did, and God blessed in that prayer meeting. And it was consistent with what was going on, in the life of Daniel. He had his resolve. His resolve, "I set my face," literally, "I gave." Listen, let me ask you this. Do you have a plan for private prayer? I think that we must make a plan for private prayer. I've heard, I don't know who said this, but it's a lot of wisdom. Failing to plan is a plan to fail. Failing to plan is a plan to fail. And what I want to encourage you this morning, church, is for us to get renewed in our deliberate action, to set our face to the Lord, to give a specific time of private prayer unto the Lord God. And I'm not talking about just prayer before a meal, which I feel is totally appropriate. Of course it is. But what about your prayer closet? You know, the Lord Jesus says that if you will pray in your closet secretly, the Lord God, the Father, will reward you openly. He will give His blessings upon those. And I'm afraid we're trying to find things to replace that aspect of the prayer life. And it will not be replaced. Daniel knew that, and he had some resolve. You know, I just encourage us this morning to be renewed in that secret place. We're going to be renewed in our corporate prayer too. I pray that we are. And we grow in that. But folks, can I ask you, how's it going in the private prayer time? Just you and the Lord. Now, family prayer is important too, but what about just you and the Lord? What about just me and the Lord? Oh God, help us to be resolved in this matter of consecration, giving ourselves, setting ourselves to the Lord God. But then not only do we see resolve here, but we see reverence. Look there in your passage. He says, I set my face unto who? The Lord God. This Lord is Adonai, which means Master. You know, we see reverence here to God the Master. He was giving credence. He was giving His whole heart to the Lord God, saying, Lord, You're my Master. You are the One that I will reverence as I come and seek Your face. And we're going to talk more about how we can reverence the Lord in prayer as we study through this chapter. It's simply amazing the example Daniel gave here in his prayer life. But he gave great reverence of the Lord God, Master. You know, we use that name flippantly sometimes, the word Lord here, but it simply means Master. And sometimes I wonder if He truly is mastering us. Has the Lord mastered our hearts and minds? And Daniel said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to reverence You and I'm going to seek You. You know, I experienced that, you do too, where you'll come and you'll know you're going to come at the Lord with a need. You ever been there where you come to the Lord and you have a need, and as soon as you get ready to start going, the Lord hits something. He touches something. He said, whoa. You're coming to me and I'm going to be glad to answer you. I'm paraphrasing here. This is what I feel like I hear sometimes. You need to get that right first. You need to get that right. And then I'll be glad to come unto you and answer in a mighty way. And I believe that's what that means right there. He's saying, Master, You're Master of everything. You're not just Master of part of my life. Lord, You're Master of every part. And we see that there's a reverence. But then, I want us to see the focus here in this consecration again was His resource. Now, what was Daniel's resource for seeking the Lord God on behalf of this situation that he was facing? It says it very clearly. To seek by what, church? By prayer. Verse 3. To seek by prayer. So number one, he understood by the books. And number two, because of that, he was going to seek by prayer. And we see by prayer and supplications and what the length that he will go to making sure that he shows his seriousness to the Lord. We see that he sees prayer is the main way of moving the hand of God. What a testimony for us to see this resource. You know, we want to source out a lot of things, don't we? I know we all face this as a church, but I want you to know, even as a leader, it's so tempting. It's so tempting to just look to activity as the resource. You teachers, a lot of times you just look over your material and the last thing, you know, the temptation, the last thing is to really spend some time praying over that lesson. You know that situation you're facing with your children. You want to correct them, instruct them, you want to show them, but to get in the prayer closet, in the private prayer closet, and intercede over them is sometimes the last place we will go. And it should be the very first. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to see some consecration. We see the resource that is prayer. It's supplication. It's saying, Lord, we are depending upon You. And if You don't do something, we're in a big trouble. But then we see His resource. And then I believe I'm going to end here this morning. We see His remorse. Look there. It says prayer and supplication. So not only do you see His resolve, He set His face and His reverence, Lord God, and we see His resource by prayer and supplication, but then we see His remorse. We see here fasting and sackcloth and ashes, which in this time was totally representative of a burden. What was this man's burden? What was this man's burden? Well, think about it. His people are in captivity. They've been taken and yanked away from their homes all these years. And he knows the time is coming. Do you think his burden is this? Do you think his burden is that he would like to see God cut the time short? I don't think it is. I think his burden is that God won't extend it. That He would not extend the time any longer than it should be, or that He desired. He wanted it to be right on time, and for Him to be ready, and for the children to be ready. And we're going to see in our later study the confession that He made for Himself and for all the others. But folks, I want to say something here. And this should tell us something. I know you hear about that. Well, all you hear at church all these days, in our church you hear about sin, and sin this and sin that. Well, listen. Here's a man of God. Can I just use an example for you? A man of God by the name of Daniel, one of the greatest used men of God in all of life. But you know what? He made so much emphasis on the problem of sin in this chapter. He was confessing it. We've done wrong. We've done wickedly. We hadn't listened to the prophets. We hadn't listened to the preachers. We just have been doing our own thing. And he goes down the list. And boy, there is a remorse there. And the focus was not on an early return back to Jerusalem. It wasn't. It simply was, Lord, please forgive us of our sin. Lord, we have sinned against You. And we've been in captivity because of it. But You're getting ready to get us back. You're getting ready to free us. And for that, dear God, we want to make sure our hearts are right with You. And boy, what a burden that was that Daniel had. He wanted to go back. And he wanted the people to be able to go back. And he wanted to be able to do it in a spirit of revival. Hey, listen, there was a great burden on his heart. A great burden. And my question to us this morning is this. Do we too have a burden like this? To see our church revived. To see people in our community be drawn by the Holy Spirit of God as we give them the love of Christ and the truth of Christ. Are we burdened about that? Are we moved by that? Oh, may the Lord help us in the days ahead to show our seriousness to the Lord in this. You know, there you may have heard of it. Has anybody here heard of the businessmen's revival? Anybody heard of the businessmen's revival? I see three or four hands. Let me explain a little bit to you what happened. The businessmen's revival of 1857 and 1858, right before the Civil War would break open. In 1857, there was the North Dutch Church in New York City, of all people, of all places. Had a businessman by the name of Jeremiah Lanfear. He was to be a lay missionary there as a businessman in the city. And he prayed this, Lord, What would you have me to do? And concerned by the anxious faces of businessmen that he would see daily on the streets of New York City, you know what he did? Jeremiah decided to open the church at noon for businessmen to come in to pray. And so he did that, and the first meeting was on September 23rd, and after 3 weeks, there had only been 6 that attended. Then there, the next week though, there was 20. And then the next week there was 40. And it switched to daily meetings instead of just one time. And listen to what happened, folks. Before long, all the space was taken in the church. And the other churches also began to open their doors for these prayer meetings. And revivals broke out everywhere, not just in New York City, but all over our nation. And it spread throughout the United States, and now is called by many the Great Prayer Meeting Revival. And it is estimated that up to 1 million people were born again into the kingdom of God during that time. And it all started by one businessman saying, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And the Lord said, "You go open that church for prayer meetings. You go in there and you seek my face and pray." And boy, before you know it, God started sending prayer warriors. And people would be getting saved in those prayer meetings. And it all began, and these men understood the power of prayer. Listen, they didn't have a circus. They had a prayer meeting. And oh God, would you help Crooked Creek Baptist Church to have that burden and that heart and that zeal and that commitment in a life of prayer. And I guarantee you this, not because Brinson Jennings says it, but because of the Word of God says it. "Seek my face and ye shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Father, Lord God, we need you more now than ever. Your promise to the children of Israel, to Daniel, Lord, that you have an expected end for our church. You have great thoughts of peace towards us and towards this community. And it is your desire to bring a great sweeping revival in our homes, in our church, and in Jackson County. Oh God, I'm begging you to revive us in our desire to pray like Daniel. Oh God, we look to you based upon your word. We commit this invitation to you, Lord God, and ask you to bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? You be obedient to God's Spirit in your commitment to pray as the Lord would lead, brother.